Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership.
Let's go aboard.
Happy Thursday to you, North America. The mothership has connected. Welcome aboard. It's the three-hour intergalactic swag party. DA with you from the CBS Sports Radio studios in New York City, broadcasting to affiliates nationwide and north of the border. Anchorage to Atlanta, Seattle to St. Pete, Kalamazoo, and Waterloo. We are on the air.
Are they listening, D.A.? Everything we saying, D.A., everything.
And we come to you live for the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. How we doing, everybody? Thanks so much for joining us. We come to you live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Good show coming up for you this morning. Excited to have you hanging around with us. We've got Chris Sims in studio in about 35 minutes from now. Bleach Report senior NBA and NFL analyst is going to join us on the show. It would be weird if Chris Sims was an NBA analyst. Very weird. He's going to talk a little NFL. I've got NBA on the brain, but we've got NFL as well to discuss. So we'll have Chris Sims join us coming up at 40 past the hour. Also, Jim Irsay's Twitter should probably be taken away from him. The Cowboys dealing with a culture problem, and why would you ever trust Dan Gilbert to build your team?
I am the epic fail.
All of that coming up this morning here on the show. As always, hit us up on the phones at 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. And you can connect with us on Twitter as well, DA on CBS. It is also exciting to announce that tomorrow we are going to have a junk food doctor here on the show. Is that right?
Yeah, we have two in studio tomorrow. Brian Urlacher will join us in studio tomorrow.
Amazing.
And tomorrow, a doctor that will specialize as we head into the 4th of July weekend, or if we look at the football season, reversing your junk food habits on the couch. You need to eat like this. You need to eat like this.
So feel good about your poor dietary habits this morning, but by tomorrow morning, we'll really make you feel guilty about them with this doctor. It broke yesterday when we were on the air at the very end of the show. Chris Paul joining the Houston Rockets as the Rockets trade for CP3, which ends this run of Clipper success. I mean, this was Clipper's success over the last 6 years. No doubt about that. It was the high point of a dreadful franchise's history. But today, day one of CP3 and James Harden now moving forward, the question has to be, can this work? Does this make the Houston Rockets a legitimate contender in the NBA? Does it make them the second best team in the West? Does it push them to be able to compete with the Golden State Warriors? And then on the flip side, is this the beginning of the end, the first piece taken away from a Clippers franchise that could never get to the Western Conference Finals, let alone the NBA Finals? It's where we begin. It's your cold open.
It's a guards-based league. It's a weapons race in the NBA, and you're either in the weapons race or on the sidelines. And, you know, we felt like this is, with James Harden in his prime and Chris Paul in his prime, this gives us a real shot to chase, the juggernaut teams that are out there and puts us right there with them.
Amazing, sensational, dramatic, heart-rending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes.
It's your cold open.
Rockets GM Daryl Morey. I understand the thinking here. The thinking by Maury is you can't win in this league unless you have multiple superstar players. Look at the Boston Celtics. The Boston Celtics could be the number one seed of the Eastern Conference. They could have a dynamic scorer in Isaiah Thomas. They could have a tremendously well-rounded team. They could have a great coach. But nobody thought the Boston Celtics were good enough to get over the Cavaliers. And we all know they would have been disassembled piece by piece by that Boston, by that Golden State Warriors team in an NBA Finals. We know that the Celtics aren't legit great despite all of the wins, despite the seed, and despite Isaiah Thomas and the depth that they have. Why? This is a league that is top heavy. This is a league that you need stars. You need high-end players and multiple ones to be able to compete at the highest level. So I understand working from that equation why Daryl Morey tries to pull this thing off. Because he's saying, look, I'll take two of the top 10 players of the NBA right now versus one and then try to build the best supporting cast around that. I will sacrifice depth for a star player in his prime. And right now you could still say Chris Paul is in his prime, although it's not going to be for long. He's already 32 years old. So from a Rocket standpoint, from an overall NBA standpoint, what they're saying is more stars gives us a better chance. Okay, I get that. We've seen that pan out. However, does it work from a basketball standpoint in Houston? I don't think it does. I don't think it's going to work with James Harden and Chris Paul being ball-dominant players, needing the ball in their hands to facilitate. I don't think that's ultimately going to work. Here's where I will defend the Rockets. They didn't give up a lot to make this happen. I mean, they really didn't. They did not have to take apart this entire team. They took apart a couple of role players, but they didn't take apart the heart of the team. But does James Harden, in a 98-98 game with 90 seconds to play, bring the ball up and do what he did all of last season? Or does Chris Paul do that? Is it all about Chris Paul simply driving the ball up and setting up James Harden? Because didn't we see James Harden's greatest success come from him being able to bring the ball up, drive to the basket, then make the decision? From a basketball standpoint, this is a potential firebomb. I think that this has the possibility of being dazzling and light-filled and great and explosive, but it also has the possibility to blow you up. The Rockets didn't give up too much to get Chris Paul. But I don't think this works basketball-wise. 855-212-4CBS. On Twitter, DA on CBS. From a Clippers standpoint, Chris Paul didn't want to be there. Chris Paul had his issues. Chris Paul wanted out. Chris Paul wanted to go somewhere else. So to recoup anything, I suppose I give the Clippers credit. To get a couple of role pieces, if you're going to go all in on Blake Griffin, you obviously have DeAndre Jordan. If you're going to build around those two guys, you get something in return for Chris Paul, who basically wanted to leave and could have left simply as a free agent. So I can't crush the Clippers here because at least they got something back for a potential departing free agent. But it sure feels like it's over in Clippers land. Sure feels like it's over. And this may have all come down to nepotism. This may be why this Clippers run didn't work. I mean, it worked to obviously a certain degree. It worked more than anything else in Clippers history. But reports are that Chris Paul became very, very, very frustrated with Doc Rivers because Doc was loyal to his son, Austin. And that Doc wouldn't ride Austin the same way. Doc gave Austin more opportunities than he would have got other places, and that Doc Rivers refused to part with Austin Rivers in a trade that absolutely would have improved the Clippers. And what CP3 saw, and I think he can be a backroom politician, don't get me wrong. I don't think that CP3 is this amazing humanitarian that never does anything wrong. But CP3 saw Doc Rivers not want to trade his son despite it improving that team and said, I can't be around it, and I don't blame him. I don't blame him at all. Doc Rivers, I believe when you give him the ingredients, when you shop for the ingredients and you give him the ingredients and you give him the hardware and the kitchenware to make dinner, can make a solid dinner. If you give Doc Rivers an empty shopping list, you give him your credit card, and you tell him, you go shop and you figure out dinner for us, it's going to suck. It's going to taste terrible. It's going to be burned. It's going to be weird. It's going to be exotic. It's going to be awful. Doc Rivers in Boston was given pieces to meld into a tremendous dinner and did so. Danny Ainge gave him Paul Pierce, who was drafted before Danny Ainge, but Paul Pierce acquired Ray Allen, acquired Kevin Garnett, Big Baby Davis, the role players that they needed, Rajon Rondo, go down the list. That team was, they loved Doc. I saw it firsthand. They loved Doc, and Doc was amazing in terms of tweaking them when they needed to be tweaked, handling the media when things got a little out of control, balancing egos. I mean, look, Paul Pierce, Ray Allen, Rajon Rondo, and Kevin Garnett are four alpha males. That's four guys that definitely should not have gotten along as well as they did. Doc did a really good job there. But Doc didn't shop for the groceries. You can't trust Doc with the groceries. You give him the groceries. You give him the ingredients. You might even say, you know what? Here's the stuff that you need. Now you go on your own. You don't even have to use a recipe. But you can't trust Doc to think out of his own mind, hey, what are we going to have for dinner today? Yeah, I'm just going to go to the store and figure it out. No, he's not a roster builder. He's not a general manager. He's not. We've seen the bench end up being a disaster for the Clippers year after year after year. The Austin Rivers thing, luckily Austin became a legitimate role player last year, a very good player actually, but it took too long, and you've got to be able to separate yourself from your family. That's what ended up pulling apart the Clippers. They gave him too much power without any checks and balances. CP3 called him on it, and he's out now. If Doc can go back to just being a head coach, great. If the Clippers gave Jerry West the keys to the car and said, you build the roster, Doc will coach it, the best. The best, Jerry, the best. But Doc wants that control. Doc wants that power. I think Steve Ballmer likes him to be in that control. And West is just an advisor. And that thing's going to continue to smolder because Doc can't shop for the groceries. He just can't. He's not good at that. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Hit us on Twitter as well. DA on CBS. When we come back here on the show, is it time to take away Jim Irsay's Twitter?
I'm not on Twitter or Facebook right now.
We might have to institute the Hurricane Jen rules here. Jim Irsay, follow her lead. You're off social media. That's next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Sports talk was meant to be on an imaginary spaceship.
I'm a fat lord.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. A happy Thursday to you. Remember, you can always watch the show. Yes, the digital broadcast, the simulcast is going on as we speak. Go to watchda.com. You can check it out on your PC, your laptop, or your phone. Watch us whenever you want, because when we're off the air, it always airs on loop the most recent episode of the show. Pretty cool.
Aw, I love the da.
Chris Paul leaving Los Angeles, wanting to get out. The Clippers basically having to try to get anything and then trading him is pretty fascinating, because nepotism is something I think we all can't stand in business, in politics, anywhere, if it stands in the way of improving situations, of doing a better job. And it sounds like that's exactly what happened with the Clippers. Michael Eaves covers the Clippers. He did Clippers pre- and post-game shows in Fox Sports LA and wrote yesterday, Doc said no to a proposed trade last season involving the Knicks. It would have been Carmelo and Sasha Vujacic to the Clippers in exchange for Jamal Crawford, the corpse of Paul Pierce, and Austin Rivers. Now, let's think about this for a sec. The Clippers, with Blake Griffin, with Chris Paul, with DeAndre Jordan, add Carmelo Anthony. I'm not saying they're better than the Warriors. I don't know if they're better than the Rockets or Spurs, but you know it makes them better if all they lose is Jamal Crawford, the corpse of Paul Pierce, and Austin Rivers. For the Knicks, they're just trying to move at all costs Carmelo, obviously, because that's what Phil Jackson wanted to do. You can add Carmelo and not give up any of your big three. All you got to give up is Jamal Crawford, Paul Pierce on his last legs, and Austin Rivers, and you say no. Now, I don't know if Doc said no because it included Austin Rivers, but that's what Chris Paul thought, and that's what the reports are, and that's lunacy. Lunacy to have done that. Lunacy. Because you wanted to hold on to your son? I mean, if I'm Chris Paul, I'd be bothered by that as well. I'd be beyond bothered by that. And I know that Austin Rivers had a bounce-back season last year, but give me a break. Are you serious? So, yeah. That's when nepotism is a bad, bad thing. When it stands in the way of obvious progress. And that's why you can't trust Doc to build rosters, or at least not to have his son anywhere near it. I mean, Jim Irsay.
She's a bad girl, David.
What are we doing? Has anybody in NFL history skated the way Jim Irsay has skated on his crime? Okay, driving under the influence outside of Indianapolis because he's all hopped up on meds, he's all hopped up on painkillers, he's got a duffel bag worth of painkillers and a duffel bag worth of cash in bricks, basically, on his seat, on his passenger seat. So he's loopy, he's driving, he's pretty clearly selling or buying in large, unhealthy, illegal quantities. And everybody around Indianapolis knew of Jim Irsay's vice. But he finally got popped. Number one, he's putting other people at risk. But number two, he's illegally acquiring and or selling drugs. Not to mention the stories that allegedly he had bought a flop house for his mistress or his girlfriend so that they could then do drugs together outside his home, allegedly. Jim Irsay, this is public knowledge now. He's an owner of an NFL team. An owner of an NFL team that hosts Super Bowls. And Jim Irsay, what's his slap on the wrist from the NFL? Is he suspended? No. Does he have to go away for rehab via the NFL? No. Josh Gordon may never be able to play football again because of weed. Jim Irsay is never going to be not allowed to own an NFL team. Oh, you can roll around with copious amounts of meds. You can get a DUI being on a ton of painkillers. You can basically be buying and dealing pain medication. But you can own that team forever. Just don't say anything racist. The only way you will ever lose your team, your franchise, is if you're Donald Sterling. That's the only way you'll ever be able to have that franchise taken away. Do whatever else you want. These guys have a lifetime contract. lifetime. They got a lifetime contract. So Jim Irsay, who we know is kind of a disaster anyway, has had this in his past. Also, last night, was this on Twitter, Mraz, or Instagram?
This was Twitter.
On Twitter, Jim Irsay's official account tweets out a picture of a completely nude woman, spread eagle, full frontal.
Get on top of the guy and they'll do a lap dance.
Oh, it was graphic, baby. It was real graphic. It was everything. Nothing to the imagination. The entire show. This was not keep popping quarters for the next slide. It was you got the whole thing. Now, Jim Irsay says he was hacked. And I would hope so. Because if you think it's fine as an NFL owner to be tweeting out pictures of that, I mean, I'm getting Paris, I'm getting Eiffel Tower, I'm getting all of Europe. I mean, it's not just a snapshot. It's everything in there. You know what? Maybe you should have Twitter taken away from you at this point.
I'm not on Twitter or Facebook right now.
Was he hopped up on his meds again and just tweeting out whatever the porn is that he's searching? I mean, I give Deadspin credit. They might as well earn the Edward R. Murrow Award because they actually Google image search this backwards, which is always kind of mind-blowing to me that you can do this, and found out that it was a porn star. So thankfully, this is one thing I could say thankfully, whoever tweeted that out from Jim Irsay's Twitter, at least this wasn't a picture they took on their iPhone. At least this was a paid actress. Because if this was a personal picture, that just gives me all types of queasiness.
The very lovely Annette Dawn.
Thank you.
She's a bad girl, David.
Yeah, some type of porn actress.
Hungarian.
Mm. Even better.
All right.
Good taste out of Jim.
Mm. So either Jim Irsay is hopped up on his meds and tweeting out pictures of the adult movie actresses he enjoys, or he's got some weirdos that hacked into his Twitter account, probably because at his office, on his phone, whatever, he just always leaves his Twitter account open. He's out there playing guitar, listening to more Jimi Hendrix records, maybe popping a few more Xanax, and then people are like, oh yeah, and by the way, everybody knows Jim Irsay's password. Oh look, his account is open. Let's do fun stuff from here. Either way, take it away from Jim Irsay. Better yet, take the franchise away from Jim Irsay. You know, the guy that got the Dewey, that had all the drugs in his car, that might even be better, or at least suspend him. I mean, here's the thing. I'm not all for 32 old white guys owning everything in the league, but I know Art Rooney ain't doing this. I know I don't got to worry about John Mara's Twitter, okay? It's only Jim Irsay. I mean, as bad as Dan Snyder is, do we have to worry about Dan Snyder's Twitter? Maybe there he says something racist about Native Americans, but I mean, largely, we don't have to worry about these old guys' Twitters. I guess we have to worry about Jerry Jones, because he had the pictures come out of him with the so-called strippers, the other women. One was kneeling in front of him. One is caressing him. Oh, no, that's not Jerry Jones, though. I'm sorry. I totally forgot. That's not Jerry Jones.
I am a smart Cowboy fan. I know about football.
It's not Jerry Jones.
No, no. Looks like him.
It's not Jerry Jones.
Looks a lot like him.
It's not Jerry Jones.
No, I can almost swear it's definitely him.
It's not Jerry Jones.
You got to love it. Really powerful old men that go, I can do anything. What? You're not taking away my billion-dollar franchise? Even if my Twitter account has porn on it? I mean, come on. The freaking NFL's a joke. I mean, sometimes it's just, it's so embarrassing sometimes. I wonder if that will be on the Jumbotron. You know, like at the Super Bowl or at these stadiums, you know how you can like text or tweet at the official accounts? Can you at Lucas Oil Stadium tweet at Jim Irsay's account? Can you say, like, by the way, offensive behavior coming from the owner's box, I'm seeing porn on his Twitter account. Can we report that? You know, fan misbehavior, owner misbehavior, can we do that? When we come back, Chris Sims is going to join us. Lead NFL analyst for Bleacher Report. Jadeveon Clowney been getting some love from his assistant coach about being a potential Hall of Famer. Too much? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Are the glitch in the simulation.
You know, Aaron Rodgers broke his heart. Hashtag stay away from me, buddy. A video that, you know, I've gone to psychological counseling for.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Summer's heat can cause your battery fluids to evaporate. Get your battery tested for free. If your battery needs to be replaced, the professional parts people will help you find the battery you need. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better prices every day. Welcome back, DA with you. You can watch the show at watchda.com. And joining us is our friend and lead NFL analyst for the Bleacher Report. That is Chris Sims dropping on by the studio. Chris, how you doing?
Doing good, DA. Thanks for having me, man. Thanks for calling me a friend, friend.
I think you are a friend. Yes. Friend, mi amigo. You know, did you see that Vince Young story about him being bitter about
Jeff
Fisher?
Okay. Yes.
So you were in Tennessee for a season.
Yep. And you played with him at Texas, too.
That's right.
Yeah.
And so you kind of know Vince Young a little bit. You know Jeff Fisher a little bit.
Yep.
What did you feel about VY kind of pointing the finger at Fisher derailing his career?
Yeah, I don't think that's accurate. I don't really like that VY said that. That's what we call him. VY is Vince. I'll say this. Let me just preface it with this. Vince is a great heart. He's a great dude. He means well. Has he had the greatest upbringing? No, he came from very hard circumstances. Has he done some dumb things? Has he had a lot of hanger-oners on him and people directing him down the wrong tunnel a lot of times through his career? Definitely. I was there to experience it, like you said, in Tennessee and even a little bit of Texas. I saw it there. But I think that what bothered me more than anything is Vince has to take accountability for his actions more than anything that we read there. I mean, is he's really going to get mad that the plane left him as the starting quarterback? I mean, what do you think Bill Belichick would do if Tom Brady was late for the plane? I mean, he would have been off out of the door. He probably wouldn't have let Tom play the next day either. So
you really think if Brady was late for a flight, Belichick wouldn't let
him
play?
It would never happen. One thing, right?
Sure.
That would never happen.
But superstars do get preferential treatment.
Without a doubt. But not the quarterback, not from those type of things. The quarterback's supposed to be your type A personality in the locker room who's always 10 minutes early.
Sure.
You know, oh, we're leaving at 6 o'clock tonight on the plane. I already got my bag packed and I'm ready to go. And I got my notebook out for all the plays I like this weekend. So I just look at it from that standpoint where he's got to take some accountability for his actions. He talked about, you know, Jeff Fisher taking the fun out of the game. Jeff Fisher was the most fun coach I was ever around. I mean, period. I mean, Jeff Fisher is a great guy. I mean, in fact, to the point where we had too much fun. I think they had too much fun in LA, and that's why maybe things weren't always as buttoned up as they might be.
Interesting.
I don't buy that either. And then, you know, just from the standpoint of like the late plane and all those, you know, Vince just wasn't always a top tier professional from that manner, whether it was being, you know, on time for meetings or just doing the little things behind the scenes that quarterbacks do. So I was not pleased with his comments because I really like Jeff Fisher. He's a guy that I will always stick up for. Kind of gave me an extra year in the NFL because I wasn't hurt after my injury. And I know what he's all about. And he's one of the better guys in all of football. And he certainly tried to help Vince out with the whole issue of, you know, the suicidal thing, right? I mean, I don't know the complete story. That's only for Jeff Fisher and Vince to know. But I do know, and I had a lot of other Texas teammates on that team in Tennessee, that there was people concerned about Vince at that time. So I don't think it's far-fetched from where Jeff Fisher's story kind of came from.
So Vince comes off, I agree, as not taking accountability. He comes off as kind of immature in this article. But he also, there is something that Greg Bishop, the writer, points out, which I think is interesting, and that is that Jeff Fisher didn't want Vince Young at number three, and sure. Bud Adams did.
Sure.
Do you think that did cause some resentment from Jeff Fisher, saying, I never wanted this guy, and now I'm forced to use him as my franchise quarterback, and that's where it could have gone askew?
I think it went askew more once Vince maybe had some of the off-the-field issues. That's when it became, listen, this wasn't my guy. I think early on, Jeff is an ex-player. He gets it. I think he was excited about what Vince could bring to the table, all those things. But I think as Vince became less and less accountable, then they don't start to win games. Then you show up your coach and walk off the field. Like, come on. That's like unheard of stuff. Have you ever heard of anybody, especially a quarterback, walking off the field, throwing their shoulder pads in the stands and saying, I'm done?
No, that's he's got to be an example.
No,
I feel like Vince Young was never... He was never wired to be the example, even though, boy, in college, I mean, I looked at him and said,
he's
this
one
guy,
of the freakiest athletes ever.
And a winner.
Yes.
Total winner. And seemed like a leader in college.
He's got some great leadership qualities. He really does. I mean, as far as rallying the guys around him, VY is as good as they get. There's a lot of qualities to really respect about him. I'll say this, even in Texas, I never thought he was going to be like a first-round quarterback.
Really?
When I left, I was like, Vince Young is going to be a top 10 pick as a wide receiver in the NFL. I didn't think at that point he was a good enough thrower. I didn't know if he was really going to be into the finer details of the position. So I just said, man, we had Roy Williams on the team, who was the number 7 pick of the draft, and I was like, man, Vince is like almost the exact carbon copy of Roy Williams, if you remember him, the all-pro receiver up in Detroit, played for the Cowboys. And I just thought, this is what Vince is going to end up doing. They're going to end up throwing him slant routes, and he's going to run 70
yards. But after the 2005 Rose Bowl,
that was the most amazing performance ever.
You must have thought then he could be a quarterback in the NFL.
Oh, I thought like, oh, wow, we're about to see Michael Vick, except this right. guy's bigger and stronger, and this might be something we've never seen in the NFL before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Chris Sims joins us here on the show, lead NFL analyst for the Bleacher Report. Hey, I wanted to ask you about Jadeveon Clowney, because his position coach says that he has Hall of Fame potential.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this was his first healthy season out of 3 seasons.
Yeah.
Had a good season, wasn't Lawrence Taylor 1986, wasn't J.J. Watt in his prime, wasn't Reggie White, but a very good season. Is it hyperbole to say that Jadeveon Clowney has that potential?
I think it's legit. He does have that type of potential. I'll say this. I got a few things to say. I love Jadeveon Clowney. I would have voted. The stats don't tell the story of a Jadeveon Clowney, okay? First of all, he's never going to be a 14, 15 sack a year type of guy because of some of the injuries you talked about. He's never going to be able to bend around the edge after microfracture surgery on one of those knees and come around the edge at full speed running 4.5 with a 320-pounder on his back trying to get around like a Von Miller doing that type of thing where you dip the shoulder. I don't think he'll ever be able to do that because of the knee. But, D.A., if I had a vote last year for defensive MVP in the NFL, mine would have been for Jadeveon Clowney.
Really?
Jadeveon Clowney is a guy like Michael Bennett, right? You hear like Tom Brady last year, if there's a better player than football on defense than Michael Bennett, please show me him.
Yeah.
There's no stat for a guy busting into the line of scrimmage, making the running back, you know, have to redirect his route. You might not get the tackle, but it's a 5-yard loss. Or the quarterback, you know, can't throw the ball because Jadeveon Clowney's just pushing the tackle right back into his face. His power is unreal. He's definitely one of the best defenders in football already. I had Vince Wilfork on my podcast, Sims and Leffo podcast, shameless shout out there.
Nice.
But Vince said that he is the most talented defensive player he's ever been around, and he thinks he's more talented than J.J. Watt, which is saying something. Now, I'm not going to go that far yet, but that's still saying something from Vince Wilfork.
Does that mean when they get Watt back this year that Texans defense is the best in the NFL?
They're the best without Watt. You know, that's the one thing. We all put athletes too much on a pedestal, right? Like, oh, New England can't win without Tom Brady. No, they went 4-0 without him. They can't, or 3-1, and they were on the third string quarterback. No one player is just going to make a unit. It can make it special, but that was the number one defense in football last year. But I think a J.J. Watt coming back is going to make them just an absolute dominant, could be like a Denver Broncos from 2 years ago type of defense where you go, man, the defense has literally won like 4 or 5 games by themselves this year.
I thought that Gisele Brady concussion thing was really interesting because it suggested that even at the highest level with a guy like Tom Brady, you could have concussions and they go unreported. Maybe Brady doesn't want them reported. Maybe everybody kind of just has a wink, wink, nod, nod about what's happening with concussions, despite us knowing all that we know, having played quarterback in this NFL, having been around the Patriots on that staff. How many concussions do you think happen without them ever being reported or somebody missing time because of them.
I mean, I don't look at the Patriots. I mean, the Patriots, the one thing you'll say about them, they're old school, right? So, like, you got your bell rung. They're not the type of players that come off the field like, Bill, you know, hey, Coach Belichick, I got my bell rung. He's, you know, that's just not going to go down there. But I would say most players are not going to report getting their bell rung or a low-level concussion, whatever it may be. I'm sure Tom had a... Our level of concussion now has changed, and I understand it's all concussion in the medical world, but, you know, now anything you get in your head ding, they go, you got a concussion, you might have to set up the game. And guys like Tom Brady are not going to do that. I wouldn't do that if I was a quarterback. There's no way. If I got hit in the head and I felt like I was still, I'm not just totally out to lunch, I'm playing. I'm not telling anybody, oh, my shoulder hurts. I don't care. That's just the mentality of a football player. I don't want to let the guy behind me play. And I want to stay out there on the field in general. I think it goes on a whole lot throughout the NFL because I think players are very aware of it. I think they ding their heads a lot and then they go, oh, my head hurts, and they act like it's something else just to get the referees and the attention away from it.
Do you think there's also kind of this understood responsibility, understood relationship with medical doctors that, like, we know you probably should come out, but if you pass protocol, there's nothing we can do?
Yes, I do. I think the doctors, it's a little new age compared to when I was playing, you know, with the independent doctors. But I do think, I always felt like the doctors had a good balance of, like, listen, these guys are a little crazy. They play football. This is what they like to do. Which is where I get mad at the concussion conversation anyways, because I just want to go, man, didn't we all knew running into 250-pound men that run 4.4 wasn't good for our health, right? I mean, that's where I get on this concussion settlement and all that. I'm like, I mean, did we really think, like, running into Lawrence Taylor 50 times a game was going to be good for you? He's like, going to walk away going, I'm better off today health-wise. So that's where I laugh at that whole conversation. I don't know where I was going that with that, but...
But the kind of the wink-wink, if you pass protocol, there's nothing we
yes,
can do.
Yes, exactly right. As long as you go in there, pass that little computer test and pass, you know, following the red laser and answering a few questions, even though they might think, yeah, he's not perfect, but he's passing it, they're going to let him play.
You're going to hop on WFAN's airwaves in a little bit, so I don't want to make you late for that. But thanks so much always for dropping on by the show.
Hey, I like you, man.
It is always a pleasure to have you. And you're the lead NFL analyst for Bleacher Report. So you're going to be doing a ton of stuff there, videos.
Yep.
And
Facebook Live, we got our Sims and Lefko podcast. Yeah, we do it all. I mean, we're the age of the millennials at Bleacher Report.
Yeah, and I mean, football season also kind of never stops, but it also is ramping up now, right?
Yeah, I'm in my last little lull here, and then, you know, yes, as you get to mid-July, late July, then it's training camps, and yeah, I got to start calling some of my coach friends and front office friends and just getting a little inside scoops of how things are going. I'm going to go make some rounds to a few training camps. And
everybody's going to go 16-0 and win the Super Bowl right?
That's what kills me about writing off-season articles right now for Bleacher Report, because they're like, well, what about the off-season buzz? I was like, what buzz? Have you heard of one draft pick or free agent doing bad so far? Yeah. Everybody's great. Everybody's going 16-0 this year.
Every coach is like, you know, with the right breaks, I think we can go undefeated. right now, if we stay healthy, I think we can go undefeated.
Super Bowl.
Chris Sims joining us. Always a pleasure, buddy. Thanks so much. Chris Sims joining us here in studio. As always, you can watch the show at watchda.com. And if you missed that interview or want to hear it again with Chris, it's available on iTunes and then also at watchda.com as well. Archive there once we're off the air coming up at noon Eastern. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Twitter, DA on CBS. You know, what Chris was saying about concussions is a really interesting to me gray area that is happening right now in the NFL. It's that we now know more than ever the danger of head injuries and the effects of head injuries. And so really no player can claim ignorance anymore. Now, I do believe that the guys that played in the 60s, the 70s, the 80s, the 90s do deserve support from the NFL because they were the bedrock foundation that the NFL was built on. Jim Irsay doesn't get to own a billion-dollar property and still be hopped up on meds and doing all this nonsense and tweeting out pornographic pictures or whatever if it's not built by the players of the 60s, 70s, 80s, and 90s. None of these 32 owners get to own billion-dollar pieces of real estate unless it's for those guys. So I do believe there is a responsibility to help those guys, and a lot of them are really hurting really badly. But today in 2017, every player that puts on a helmet on Sunday knows the types of risk. Now, they don't know necessarily. We don't have all the information on long-term ramifications, specific ramifications, but we know it's not good, and it won't be good. And we're getting more and more information as we move along. But that's why now with the protocol, you do have to sometimes save players from themselves, even though they're armed with all of this information. Because as Chris Sims was just talking about, quarterbacks, players don't want to lose their job to the next guy. So they go, I'm not hurt. I'm fine. I mean, how about that? Chris saying, they're looking at my head, so I'm going to act like I got a shoulder injury to take attention away from my head just to get a breather here, but I don't want to let them know it's a concussion because that's when I got to come out. We see this every year. We'll see it again this year. A quarterback that looks like he's got a concussion staying in the game because he gamed the protocol test. And the doctors go, well, I mean, if he says he's okay and he passes the test, I guess he's okay. When we come back, can you trust Dan Gilbert? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.